on.
Yeah.
It was he definitely caught my eye after Hype Factory, and then once he went to the Beast Camp and battled Herb, I was like, yo, I definitely want to take a second and talk with my guy.
Yeah.
And then I seen you shared it, and I was like, yo, I kind of like wanted to wait for the right moment. I was like, man, I want to get pun on here, but bro, welcome to the show. Thank you again. But thank you, man. Real quick, just to kind of start us off, let people know who you are, what you do, and then we'll take it from there.
Well, my real name is Al Watson Jr. Known to the dance world by Al Metro, DJ Al Metro, known to the crump world as Pun, aka Lil Three Billy, Godfather South, Godfather Crump.
Hey, Mijo Bulls in the building. And then, PFR, that is an acronym, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. PFR is pun, pun, Raven, Raven, and Fury. You all know my own name, but pun,
Hey.
Raven, and Fury.
That's dope, dude. And then before you were Young Street Bully, right?
Yes, I was a Young Tree Bully. Actually, at the last resurrection that I had, that's when I became Young Tree Bully. And here recently, I was able to pass on the name to Beast Hype. And
Yeah.
I was able to become a Little Street Bully. So I was very, very excited and happy about that. You know what I mean? One, me becoming Little Street Bully and get into that leadership role, and then also being able to welcome him in, because Romero's a good friend of mine, welcome him into the meet up.
That's tight. And so also for people who may not know, the Street Bullies is one of the names of Big Mijo, who's a prolific, not only a prolific dancer, but he's also one of the creators of Crump. And so that's a big name for people, who might not understand kind of how those things break down. How does that feel? Like, and I already know you already do, me myself, I already know how much you do for the movement, for the South itself, Texas, even more specific.
Right.
How does it feel like what does that pressure feel like to you now holding that type of rank as a little street bully?
To be honest, I'm gonna just be completely honest. It's less pressure now because I feel like coming into, and I'm gonna be very open and honest. I'm gonna be an open book. Like, I don't care about how things look. I just want to tell y'all the truth. So coming in trying to be Young Street Bully, it was a bunch of pressure. Because it was like, man, you're under one of the creators. All right, your dancing is at a certain level, and it has to be at another level. So every time I go anywhere, I have to show them why I'm under Mijo versus already understanding that I have a position and that he chose me for a reason. That Crush Solo welcomed me in. So the transition for me more so was a weight off my shoulders, and it was more or less like, okay, now I know how I've really arrived, and I've done enough to receive a higher rank, one of the original ranks. And so it really was a blessing. It was really was a blessing, and now I'm able to like be myself more now in the little rank. In the young rank, I really was forcing a lot of things, forcing and kind of like wiping away everything that was me. As far as my style and everything, trying to fit a mold that I was already had, you know.
And Crush and Solo is, and I always give Solo his flowers. Those are two people, who've just been in the fucking game for so long, and then to kind of be embraced by them, is big. And let's kind of take a walk down memory lane. How did you even get introduced to Crump? How did you find it, or how did it find you?
Well, my mother loves telling this story, but it definitely was my mother. She is the one that showed me the Rise movie, and honestly, truthfully, I already had seen some bit of it because I had a family that stays in Rancho Cucamonga.
Okay.
That's IU for people who don't know. So going back and forth to LA and Texas, I was able to see it. Like, as I'm seeing it on Rise, everybody down here is thinking like, oh man, it's cool, but I actually got to see it. And so I was also at Lost Boys versus Mob. I was actually like there at the actual, you know, when they were battling. So that's how I really got introduced to Crump. And at the time I was doing a lot of choreography. I was in the choreography, and just being transparent once again, I was in what I guess LA would call stripper dancing. We didn't call it stripper dancing. We called it like jigging or gigging, and it was slow dancing. And it was more of a provocative dance for women. Like we danced to get the attention of women. That's where a lot of our roles and grooves come from, is because that's how we came up dancing, D-Town Boogie and jigging, slow dancing. So once my mother showed me that, I was just like, man, I love choreography. It is getting me seen. Me and Disco at the time, we were on a TV show called Dance Club 21, which is actually a subsidiary of Dance 360 that was, you know, everybody knows about Dance 360. Rapture was on there, Miss Prissy was on there, but they made a smaller version of that, and it was on Dance Club 21. So that came down here and it was local. And I just wasn't really feeling the choreography. I mean, I danced behind plenty of artists before. You know, DJ Unk, Christina Milian, Marcus Houston. And I just was like, man, I like it. I like the attention. I like the money, but I don't feel free. So that's just when my mother showed me Rise, and then I got into Crump.
And what age were you around that time?
Oh, I was 19. I remember that. Yeah, I was 18 when I started really doing stuff, and I was 19 because I was in college playing basketball.
Dude, and I remember DJ Unk, oh my God, bro, Walk It Out, and just all of that, bro. Oh my God. Bro, and I mean, and I seen a post in the Crumpers page earlier where it was talking about all style dancers are taking over Crump. And I think I get the notion that they're behind the statement, like I maybe were poorly worded. But I get, it's kind of like these are people who came outside of Crump. They didn't learn dance through Crump. They were already dancing. They were already learning these moves. And I mean, bro, we all did the Lean With It, Rock With It. We all did the Soulja Boy. Every Crank That. I remember Crank That Elroy. Crank the fucking SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Cranking, people was cranking everything, you know. And it was just, for me coming in, like I also learned, I was learning choreo too, and then kind of got my into Crump that way, because there was people like Joel and Dread and Spartan coming around, Ruin. I was dancing with AOV back then, so CJ. Okay. I was just around, I mean Robbie, I was just around a lot of buck heads, bro, and kind of got my foot in the door that way. So was there like a particular person that kind of took you under their wing at that time, or were you just like free agent, just hitting all the different sessions? How did that go?
Yeah, at the time, we weren't even heard of as far as like Crump is concerned. So I was pretty much a free agent, and there wasn't anybody that was like, oh, where are you from? I want to put you in my fam. The only person that directly impacted what we did is because, like, you know, a lot of the Crump Kings, a lot of people know Crump Kings, they dispersed into different states and stuff like that. So we ended up running into Constantine. Martell is his real name. And Constantine was the one that was like, okay, we got to see him. He's on the DVDs. And we see that his Crump is way different from ours. It's better. Like, he knows what he's doing. So I'm from a town called Fort Worth, and Constantine, and he was with Girl Slay at the time too. They were together. And we would go to their house, and it's like the boonies of Fort Worth, like a suburb. and we would constantly just sit there and watch them. And then we would try it, of course, as well. And I always loved what he did because we were so hungry. We were like, okay, we want to be your little homie because that's the pecking order. That's what we see on the DVDs. And he was like, nah, I feel like y'all got something else going on that I can curate, but I will change it. And I think that you really just need to be on your own until you figure out what that is that you have that's different from LA, from us. And then maybe we could talk about it. And I, at the time, I was like, dang, I'm not tight enough. You know, he don't want me in his fam. He doesn't want, you know, but what he was doing, I always remember, is like, he was like, no, I don't want to, you know, like the intensity, the, even like the mentality of like gang banging, the, like the intent behind like a bang and stuff. Like we would always do stuff in groove. And he was just like, he didn't diss it. He was just like, you got to find out what that is for yourself. And I don't want to stop that growth in what you're doing here, because he was like, we have our own thing. And he was like, I can see that you guys are about to create something great here. So I don't want it to be, you know, labeled as, you know, Constantine runs the South. It's like, no, Southern Dancers run the South. I'm just helping them.
That's cool. Kind of gave you guys your own space to grow and flourish and stuff as your own identity type of move. That's cool. That, and God, that's, it's so wild to think, like, you know, obviously you're under Miho, and I've been in the room with Miho and Tide Eyes and Prissy, and it's just so wild to think that these young, you know, young kids from the ghetto, you know, and be real, young black kids from the ghetto, right, just started this beautiful thing, and then it spread to Texas. And I was in North Carolina, you know, at the time when I first saw, like, my sister first showed me, like, yo, you need to see this dance. It's called Crump. And it just changed everything for me. It really put me on a different, really, really different path. And then, so you get introduced, you know, you're starting to kind of learn from somebody who was in the DVDs and all these things. And then what would you say was like your first big, like, breakout moment, or a moment where it's kind of like, I'm here. I'm like me right here, right now.
I'll say that's when the movement started growing here, just in, I'll say, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, because we're like a metroplex, and we have Dallas-Fort Worth, Arlington, you know, kind of like similar to like what LA, you know, is. And the moment I realized, like, man, you know, I'm battling my first actual, like, real live, well, I'll say my Crump battle that I lost was against Savage, because Savage, they were in Tyler, Texas. And the moment that I took that battle, I was like, man, I'm supposed to be the big guy around here on campus, and he beat me. And then I end up from that moment just like going on a rampage. And anybody that I seen, anybody that I battled, I just, you know, started like really winning. And those are my heydays. Like, for me, this is probably like my seventh lap. But like, those are my real heydays, like dancing in the club. And I remember one day, like, I was called out by two people in the club. And like, you know, in the club, you had to dance a Young Jock, whatever came on. And I just like destroyed two people at once. And I was like, wow, I guess I have arrived. And people started immediately asking, like, hey man, can I be in your fam? You taking little homies? And that's when like, I really solidified myself. It's like, okay, this is, you know, I'm Pun. And at the time, I had already met Chez and Little Rowdy, because Houston had a movement and they flew, it was a lock-in, they flew Little Rowdy and Chez there. And I got to meet them and got some pointers from Chez as well. But that's like the real moment. I'm like, okay, it's on now. This is who I'm destined to be. I am Pun. And I even kind of understood too, being like the oldest person and being in show business, I was like, I kind of seen how it was going. I was like, I think I'm going to have to unite the Southern movement, because it was just like, once again, it was just one of those things where they seen us, but no disrespect to them at the moment, this might not be what they were thinking, but it was like, we weren't a thought unless we were booking. You know, nobody was on the form, Crump form, saying the South is the place to be, or the South has got dancers, or nothing of the sort. We weren't included in anything. We weren't acknowledged. And I was like, yeah, that has to change now. So that's kind of like, I almost fell into the leadership role and like the big man on campus battle wise all in the same time.
Yeah, that seems, I mean, it seems so like icky to kind of think of too, because Texas to California is maybe a day's drive, you know, and to really think like, it makes me think of like the India movement. You know, I don't think a lot of people think of the India movement unless, you know, like Rex is going over there consistently, Beast is going over there consistently, 1K, and it's kind of like, damn, why don't I think of them more often? You know, it's like when the big homie gets booked or these people who I'm kind of like cool with, that's when I'm like, oh yeah, India's got a fucking movement, you know, and they got buck dancers, like really, really buck dancers out there. You know, shout out Rowdy Striker. He's out there in India. And they got just so much talent. So that's kind of, I can see where there's that like kind of gross feel to kind of think like, damn, Texas is lit. Like even just like in the hip hop scene, like there's so much good hip hop music that comes from Texas. I mean, I was a huge Mike Jones fan growing up, Paul Wall, all them, bro. I was huge, huge, huge fan. But then when you hear most people talk about hip hop, it's always, you know, New York versus California. Right. And it's kind of like, whoa, let's not forget about Texas. Let's not forget about Atlanta. You know, let's not forget about Florida. There's a lot of tight people out there. So Pun's making his name. And believe it or not, the Rez was some of the first Crump event footage that I ever watched. And that being the first American like Crump convention, how did that come about? Like, what was the first meeting to kind of, or like, what was the inspiration to kind of get that going?
Truth be told, like I said, that whooping from Savage, and I know people say like, oh, you know how to hold a grudge, but that whooping from Savage kind of inspired everything that I did after in Crump. But what ended up started happening, you know, there are a couple of things that I remember like offhand. There was one thing that Crush, and he was young, you know, but I always tell him this. He was just like, whatever you do in Crump, it only matters if you do it in the West. And now, at the time he said that, he was in battle mode. He was just like, you know what I'm saying? He was talking his shit.
He being crushed.
But at that moment I said, okay, bet. I guarantee you I'm gonna change that narrative. So this Southern Invasion also that you see, this is not the first, second, third, fourth time that we've done that. We just didn't have a name to it. So back when rest in peace Lane, me, Lane, Disco, which is Chaos, Jizer, all of us, like we used to go to LA on a bus because that was the cheapest form of travel back then. So once again, we're going out there. I'm, you know, meeting people, you know, different things like that. I'm meeting Beano, because at the time I had gotten a Beano. That was like my original first like big homie, if you want to say it. Yeah, like that was my original big homie, period. And it was Beano. So as I'm, you know, gathering these relationships and stuff like that, we had other events like the Graveyard, and we had Beyond Buckness. They were really, really good. And they started to bring together Texas. And when we had these events, I'm starting to see Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, like all these other states, Atlanta. So at this particular time, I'm like, okay, it has to be a way to bring us together, because in LA County alone, they have more Crumpers in LA, probably just in LA, than we do the entire Southern movement.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, we got to find a way to bring everybody together. I know it's far. So what I started to do, just to go more directly into your question, because it was definitely, I will shout out the other leaders as well that were leading these movements at the time, Arkansas, it being Brandon Benson and Monique Benson. They were the leaders of Arkansas. Then you have Jag Cornelius, that's his real name, and then Michael Phillips, they were leading Mississippi. You had just different various leaders. So what I did was I was like, hey, you guys, I'm going to take the old school route of like how people got their music out, like in the chitlin circuit. I'm not going to say like through the internet, hey, come here, because back then, now it's all about internet, but back then it's face-to-face, meet and greet. So mm-hmm. I'm like, hey guys, we're going to get in the van. We're going to go to Arkansas. We're going to dance in front of them, maybe battle them, maybe not, have a good time, show organization, hand them a flyer. Hey, Resurrection is coming. I need all you guys here. And I'm going to make sure that I highlight whoever you guys' best is. Same thing. Went to Mississippi, same thing. Alabama, different places. Well, Alabama came to Mississippi, so it was kind of easier. But I went to these various areas, and then they just showed love when it was time. And I brought like different people down here for the Resurrection. They all knew to show up and show out. They were like, this is my chance to be seen on a big platform. Everybody that, by this time I had a relationship with Crush, Solo, Cannon, like all of the people that were of like, I guess you say like the generation of, I ain't gonna say generation of now, but like the ones that are veterans now. And then I also, at the same time, took notice to who I thought was good, because I'm keeping it in my mind what Chris said, that it can never, you'll never be, it'll never be good unless it's on the West. So I'm like, okay, I seen Spartan. I'm like, you're good. Why has nobody flown you to somewhere different? So I got Spartan. I got all the people that were the ones that were physically good to me. And I'm like, you're about to pop. But at, on the West at the time, this is during the split time, it was like, if you weren't Tight Eyes, Mijo, this was a Hitman, you couldn't get known. So I got the Outrageous, the Spartans, the Crux, these people, and I was like, hey, come to the Resurrection. I'll provide travel, place to stay. You can do a workshop, make some money. Simeon, Faith, all these people. So when I did it, financially, it was a disaster, but it was the people's event, and it blew up. And I had it, you know, I just mixed in what I learned from OGs down here that threw different events called like Triple Threat. And I kind of mixed in what they did, and also mixed in what I would want to see. When I went to LA, I wanted to meet Crush, meet Solo, maybe play basketball with them, sit and have a drink with them, or whatever the case may be. We didn't get to do that. So I was like, I'm going to do that at my event, or, you know, and I had a lot of help from, like I say, the other leaders. And, you know, all the people that are here in Texas, they helped me as well financially and even like with support, picking people up. And then it just, like I said, just turned into what it turned into.
Yeah, because dude, and I love that more people are trying to throw more events and stuff. But I kind of talked about it with Knives a little bit, is like a lot of people don't understand what that takes. You know, the picking them up from the airport, or picking them up from the fucking train station, or getting them into hotel rooms, the money, like, let alone the money, all of that requires the time, the, you know, the delegations and organizing it all, you know, making sure that people aren't sleeping in somebody's closet, you know, or there was that one event, I can't remember what it was called, but it was like some of the dudes were like, there was like 6-7 dudes packed up in a hotel room. It's like, dude, that's unacceptable. You know,
sleeping in the closet.
Were you really? Oh my, god, bro. I remember reading that post and I was like, there's no fucking way that's actually happening to these guys.
Right here. This event right here.
Oh my, and you kept it on the wall. That's insane. Yeah. Brian.
Yeah, I always to remember the trauma.
Oh my god. And are all those plaques like things you've been a part of and things you've went to?
Yeah, either I've thrown it or it's like certain awards, different things, like, you know, workshops. That was in Florida. That was my fan when it was at its biggest, like, hype, all the people that were a part of it, and like different awards. But yeah, I kept this so that I would never ever like experience that again, as far as like contracts and all that type of stuff. But at the same time, as a DJ, it, you know, I'm always a glass half full, and my best friend, he hates when I say that, but it's like, at that time, it propelled me forward as far as DJing. Because I got to DJ in front of a lot of people, and DJ my aunt, she was there, and she was just like, she packed her stuff up and left. You know what I mean? Because it was just a disaster, and I was like, you know, I got what I needed as far as like payment, and I was like, I got it. I'll jump in there, and like I said, I'll never forget. But I was definitely one sleeping in the closet. Like I even made a Michael Jackson, like his like Keep It in the Closet. I remade that album cover and put my face on there because I was really in the closet.
Oh my God! I know. I thought about the Trapped in the Closet Chronicles. I was like, dude, there is no way, bro. They really got dudes out there doing that. Man, no way. And you know, I've been out here in Ohio, and you know, luckily I've been able to get into one of the group chats and stuff and kind of connect and fellowship with everybody. And somebody was talking about it, like, dude, we don't need to subject ourselves to like sleeping in the car and sleeping here or going without and this and that, and which is true. You know, it's very true. You know, a lot of us are grown ass, hairy ass adults, got kids, got jobs, and we shouldn't be doing that, you know. But you are really one of those people who are like, yo, like how a lot of the South says it right now, like out the mud, just getting it up out the mud, man, and doing it the long way, doing it the hard way and doing it the long way, which is to me is respectable as hell. So for event throwers, what is some tips or useful pieces of advice that you could give some of the guys who are wanting to do these type of things?
One thing is like for sure, and this is me because I am Christian, but I want to let people know, like, it's a scripture in the Bible that talks about counting your costs, and that can be used universally across the board. Like, count your costs before you even think about doing an event. Like, know and understand that we're in a different climate, we're in a different everything, and you got to count the cost of, like, do you have enough funding, time, and know-how, and even a team of people to get something done? Because, and also, can you even pull the numbers? I feel like some people, they haven't even been able to throw a session and have a consistent 10 people show up, but then they want to throw an event where they think that 250 people are going to show up. Like, you got to mentally just like sit down and do the math and be like, maybe I should do a session first. And then you also have to like understand what your movement needs at the time, because of the numbers and things of that nature. So that's what I do first. I'm like, okay, where are we at? Because a lot of people ask me, like, how come you haven't done a resurrection again? I'm like, okay, where are we at as far as a movement? Like, what do we need? And then from that point, you start to build up your vision. And that's, to me, that's very important, because a lot of people, when you do an event, you have a vision in mind, or you should. It's like, okay, what is the vision? Initially, in the resurrection, the vision was, I'm going to get a Southern dancer from each region and have them go against somebody else who needs a shot as well. So these two people that are battling, they both are hungry. They need a shot. They're not worried about like, oh, I don't really care if I'm not going to really lab because I'm going to get paid and I don't really care. You have a lot of that in crump. So like, that was my vision. And I stuck with that vision, even though when the battle list came out, people were like, oh man, I'm your homeboy. Oh man, I feel like I deserve a battle. Because once people do that, they throw off your vision. And then once your vision is thrown off, you, at this particular time, you're just doing anything. This is where you see a lot of these battles that don't make sense. That's their vision. They done got thrown off. Somebody that said, you should let me battle this person, or they have a vendetta against somebody else and they're trying to like put them in a certain battle. Like, you have to stay, you have to like see, count your costs, have a vision, and then you have to like really execute. And I say, and I'm gonna give a real for real, some of my friends will probably get mad at me, I'm gonna give a for real, like the way I feel like an event should go in this day and age, especially in the South and just in general. Think about the consumer and the crumper, not just the crumper. the consumer, your auntie, uncle, girlfriend, boyfriend, uncle, whatever, like anywhere they go, it's going to be hard to sit still for more than 2 to 3 hours. Because they're not, they're like a crumper can like, oh, I can crump all day long. But to other people, this is like, all right, what other move can be done? You know what I mean? So I would say when I did the Buckster, I'll never, ever deviate from that plan. That was the most, in my opinion, the perfect event that I threw. It was 3 hours. And I understand the consumer is like, they're going to get tired. And then as the crumper, I started to think about like, okay, now everybody gets a battle versus it being a situation where a select few people get a battle and they're like, I want to be there one day. Now everybody gets a battle. So back in the day, there was no such thing as a smoke break battle. They call those smoke break battles because they know that those battles are not good and they don't want to see them. You got to read the room and be like, okay, maybe, bro, I love you, but maybe you haven't worked up to a level to be on the same platform as Crush. Or be on the same platform as, I mean, let's just talk of the generation now of like Davi, Horace, you know what I'm saying? Twin Street Beast. You haven't got to this same level, Jungle. So why would I put you, if you're putting people to sleep, why would I put you in that same category? Like it's just not, it's unrealistic. You need to hop in a tournament or you need to call somebody at an after session. So I think about it, you know, 3 to 3 hours, maybe 4. And then how I do it as well, your main event battles, they go first. Because that's why all your hype is. When I did the Buckster, people were walking in and Felicia and Lily were already battling. Like, oh, shoot. But they got all the hype. The people that are dancing in the tournament, they're dancing for money. They can dance at the end. Because they're there to be competitive and they're going to get something out of the battle. So that's how I look at that. And I know it's long-winded, but in a nutshell, I would tell event throwers 4 to 5 battles maybe a day. And then a tournament and some type of like session slayer. And then you can do performances if you want to, but at the end of the day, people come out of the event and they're not drained. Imagine going to an event at 5 and getting out at 9. You're like, oh, shoot, there's places to eat that are still open. You know, vegan places that people like that are still open because that stuff closes early. Kids that you want to come to the event, they're not like out of club hours. And then you can have an after session and then the after session might end at 12. You're like, wow, it's 12 o'clock. Oh, I'm still kind of all right. I can go to sleep, get up the next day and do it again. But if people are in a chokehold and they don't get out of the event until 2 a.m. and then you want them to after session and then you're expecting them to wake up in the morning and be ready at 1, 2 to do a workshop, they're dead.
Yeah.
So I always think about, to close sum it up, I think about the consumer and the crumper, because at the end of the day, your consumer is where you're getting your cash flow that you're putting into the event. You know what I mean? Your crumper, you can't really control your crumper. They're gonna show up when they want to, they're in a town, they're getting tattoos, they're going to Mr. Fry's, they doing whatever, but your auntie, uncle, the people that are in a community center that are looking to invest in your event, if you say 5 o'clock, they're there at 5 o'clock or 5:30. And if you like playing random music or people are running around and they have a session, they're like, okay, who's battling a session? This session is 30 minutes. What are they waiting on? You know, it looks unorganized. And us as crumpers, we don't see how unorganized it looks.
Yeah. And even with events, and I really like how you put an emphasis on the consumer, because even as dancers, and though we participate, we are also consumers, right? Because we're watching, we're participating, you know, we're in here buying from vendors. Some of us are there just to spectate, you know. I haven't been, and I've talked about this at length with Sherwin, is I've never been able to just to spectate. You know, the moment I got into the crump scene, it was just straight dancing, session, you know, battle, tournament, this. And I never just got to go to a tournament and just watch, just enjoy it, not worry about who I'm going to battle or if someone's going to call me out. And so I'm purchasing one of those seats now. And it's very true. Like, I don't want to be sitting here, bro, until 1 a.m. I got a kid to go home to, bro. And like, And I done seen the posts. There's going to be a battle at the after session. I want to see that. And then now it's 3 a.m. and I got a 2-hour drive home and there's just no way. I'm not doing it. Like, I love Crump. Love y'all. Not doing it. Just not doing it. And right. So it is. And especially thinking, like, if I was out in Texas and if I was leaving the event at midnight, I don't know where the hell I am. So do I even want to be in this neighborhood right now? Like, do I even want to be in this place with you people? Like, I don't know you guys. Like, you know, I don't know what's going to happen here. So, because I know going to the fucking Carson spot in Cali, it gets hectic out there, especially with those after sessions.
Yeah, it does. I did that, and I had to realize that too with the resurrections. And the thing that I'm saying, and I want everybody else to know out here, this is mistakes that I've made, because the resurrection, the last one, was in a blood area, like blood capital as far as Fort Worth is concerned. But because I dance, and you know, in Fort Worth, I'm like, Fort Worth is one of those places where you go ask somebody, like, yeah, I know Al, he dances, he was on TV for dancing, da, da, da. So they give me a pass, but other people that are from different areas, they don't, and they don't know them, and they're like, yeah, because they even told me, some guys are up sitting up on an apartment, they're like, we know you, but them dudes over there, like, they keep hanging out smoking, you know, it is what it is. Like, we love you, Al, but so I even thought about, I was like, man, I'm having this event closed at, like, I think it was like 11, 12, and I know it's a dangerous area, but in my mind, I'm like, I'm home, so I'm not thinking straight. But I started to understand, like, okay, I'm doing it. And even when I took them to Plano, I took that same mindset. Okay, well, now you don't have to worry about bloods, well, but you got to worry about the police, the boys in blue. And, you know, if my boss is watching, I'm a police as well, but it's two different types, and I'm definitely not that other type, if you get my drift. So, you know, it's, yeah, I'm not going to hold anybody hostage, because like you just said, it's like, where am I at? What am I doing? You know, people's mind starts to change, and this is where we get into this, you know, with adults and minors, because it's like, it's late, and you know what I'm saying, stuff happens and different things like that, because it's just like, we're mixing that, we're getting dirty after dark, you know what I'm saying?
And yeah,
not cool.
Yeah. And dude, even in my neighborhood in California, like, there was you know, the homies from the neighborhood, you know, and they always hung out, and even though I was never like officially from there, there was always, even me, like, I knew what cars were pulling up. I knew, like, hey, whose car is this, bro? And sometimes I would have to jump on my bike and kind of cruise by and see who's right here smoking or who's hanging out, and just kind of, hey, you guys all right over here? Who you here with? Who you guys waiting on? Oh, okay, you know, just checking, you know. And right. I think that element is everywhere, and it is something, because I think my whole journey of Crump would finally be complete when I finally have my own, you know, corpse collection Crump event. That'll be like the grand finale for me, and I'm really being patient with it. Like, I would throw sessions in my town, but like you said, I could never get, you know, the 10, 15 consistent people. Like, me and my five homies, yeah, we're there every Friday, but getting the consistency was always hard, and they were itching for it. They would want, like, when are we going to throw an event? And I'm just like, not yet, not yet. Like, we need to let this cook a little bit more. You know what I mean? We need to let this bake a little bit more. And we're trying to get there, you know, but I think trying to stay, having the word I'm looking for? I guess the eagerness to make shit happen, and the humility to know that you're not ready, like, making that mesh is really hard sometimes, because we want, like, it's our desire. Yeah, our desires and our humility, like, mesh and, like, really be like, nah, we're not there yet. And like you're even saying, like, with certain battles, like filler episodes in an anime, we don't want filler episodes, bro. We want banger after banger after banger after banger after banger after banger. You know, tournament of power type shit, you know, like, right. We want banger, 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 like, that's what the consumer wants. Boom, 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 boom. We don't want two dudes who you can, I mean, I've seen some events where it's like, dude, did you guys lab? Like, this is what you brought to this event. Like, you got flown out, you're getting fucking paid, this is what you decided to display to people. This is not right. Like, and we kind of have to think of it that way sometimes. And it sucks because these people are our friends, or they're people who, you know, we kind of grew up with and danced with and stuff. And it kind of sucks to have that ego check, you know, have to do an ego check on them. And speaking of which, you know, the Tournament of Power, you guys got the Immortal Buck going on too.
Yes, sir. And I love it. It can become a headache because just how people think about it, because once again, and it was a beautiful segue, it's the ego check. Like Immortal Buck, because it is the ego check. And this way, an event thrower like a Herb, like a, I'm speaking to existence Beast, because he's going to do Beast camp event again. I'm going to make sure that, like Ronnie, all these people, and I'm missing some people, but all these people, they can see your scorecard and see what you've been doing all year long versus taking that chance. Last year or a year before, 5 years ago, you were the man and you sell tickets, so I'm gonna put you out there. And then they get, like you say, you'd be like, did you laugh? Did you even try? And then they're like, well, I don't really be dancing like that. And I'm like, well, you should have told me that before the contract, you know. But this way with Immortal Buck, just to let people know what Immortal Buck is, it encompasses every part of Crump, and it has a season that keeps track of everything. So your one-on-one battles, it's called Earn Your Rank, and it's the best class being S, and it goes S, A, B, C, D, E, E being the lowest, S being the best. And you move throughout those ranks by doing one-on-one battles. It's fully dummy-proof, to where if someone tries to hold on to a rank and sit there, if you don't battle, then you start dropping. And then to go up, you have to battle someone in your rank, or three people in your rank, or two people above you to move up. So it kind of keeps it to where it's not just like, oh, one battle, now I feel like I'm the best in the world, or lose one time and like this person takes my place. It's not like that. It's very realistic. Then you have the Session Slayer, where people that just are sessioners, they can be highlighted. You have the What Lies Beneath, that's the showcasing, where people that are more on the performance aspect, they want to become like, because Crump has breeded so many artistic directors, I don't even know if they know, but the eye of, and the ear of Crump is what artists, like, they love and they thrive off of, like what Quang is doing, what Sketch is doing, what Crush, Miho, all of, like, artists love the way we hear and see things. Like when the energy, we have to have energy. Like even other styles, like, hey, make a semicircle. Hey, hype up. It came from Crump. So What Lies Beneath allows a crumper to perform and make their own script, make their own music, and do performance space. I kind of like that the most, honestly. And then you have, the tournament. The tournament is for your person that, like, they just like tournaments, because to me, tournaments are, they're almost the session and battle in one, if you rather, and that's just for the person that's just like to climb the mountain, you know, like Mortal Kombat, you know, knock people off. So that's kind of like how Immortal Buck is. We have a championship October 12th, which we're working with KCS as well to help and just like make this thing as big as possible. But when we're done with the season, people will have scorecards. So when a person comes up to them and is like, hey, what is your score right now? And let's just say me, for example, right now I hold a score of an A. So it's right below S. And somebody come up to me and like, well, let's just say I was a D. And I'm like, Al, you're so-and-so of this. Like, why are you a D? I got to say either because I've been losing, which means I ain't been labbing or taking the lab serious, or I haven't been battling. Now it's on that event though to be like, I don't think I want to, you know, I don't think I want to go with that. Or, hey, you bring out people, so I hope that you laugh. But it'll be on the event though at that time.
I mean, it's a good way too to hold everyone accountable, you know, because there are sessions that I know that I can go to. They're going to be live. There's going to be extremely good dancers. This, that, and the third. And then there's sessions I know I'm going to go to that are, they're, you know, they're a little more just kind of chill, chillax, you know. And it's cool for organizers to kind of hold themselves accountable, like, hey, this is the person I'm bringing. This is the person. And maybe, and again, kind of knowing what you can do as an event thrower. Like, I can't book, you know, the puns. I can't book Antics. I can't book Beast. I can't book Spartan. But, you know, I can get an Icon, you know, I can get this person and this one in a Namix. Like, I can get the dudes who are kind of new in it. Mm-hmm. They're tight and, you know, their booking fee isn't going to be out the roof, and I can get them here, you know, draw in some attention and get some other dancers here too, who may be more of like a D class type dancer, and give them a shot. And mm-hmm. these more kind of like up and coming stars, like, continue to prove your mettle and, you know, slay them. Like, if you're going to fuck them up, dude. But if not, you're giving somebody a chance, you know, to earn stripes against you and make a name of saying, hey, did you see who this guy got killed off by? Oh my God. No, I don't even know who that is. Like, you know, and it creates hype around the dancers, creates hype around your event. And it's cool. Like, shout out Craze, man. Craze, picked up my buddy Hector, who's Boy Manic now.
Yeah.
And Hector's in the whole Immortal thing going on, man. And he messages me from time to time, and I told him, I was like, dude, just take full advantage of it. He's like, well, I'm in this class with all these people. I was like, you're there for a reason. Like, just keep doing what you're doing, bro. And next thing, things will start happening for you. And for somebody like him, I think it's very good to have like that accountability of like, this is where you're at. Like, you're not down here and you're not up here yet, but you're right here. Like, fuck around in this area and then you can move up, and then fuck around in that area and then move up. And then, you know, like, have that, that step in that rung in the ladder, you know, to kind of, it, like, it reminds me of like Tournament of Power and then like Mortal Kombat. Like, if they had a kid, like, if they had a crazy like love affair, and then here's this thing, and it is, I don't think as crumpers though, like you said, like the sketches and Quenga, like, I'm not a huge fan of some of the things sketches had to say, but where I will give him his flowers, that he's a talented fucking dancer. And he's taking those talents, and he's been able to put Crump in certain places that I don't think had quite got its, the scratch hadn't got its itch yet, you know.
Hercules as well too, and it's a different time period because of Hypnosis and Britty, they were in these spaces, but the internet, you know, wasn't as the social media. I'll say internet was out, but social media wasn't. So now these guys are like, they're able to be in the ear of some of these artists, and you can see that some of these artists are taking their fashion, their approach in music, their approach in visual arts from Crumpers. You know what I mean? Like, even, mm-hmm. even Little C, a lot of people don't even know it. I remember the first time I seen a Mario and a Crump on 106 in Park, he looked exactly like Little C. And mm-hmm. I was just like, Little C is, I don't know if people remember, but if you had ever seen Poppin' Taco and Michael Jackson together, or if they had on like something that made them look the same, like a mask, you wouldn't be able to tell them apart movement wise because Michael Jackson mirrored everything he did around Poppin' Taco and Poppin' Pete. That's what Omarion, Little C was to Omarion. And that's what like Chris Brown is to some of these, you know, other like Sketch and Hercules and stuff like that. Like, I see him trying to mimic, and like, even like Barry, Little Mijo,
Little Mijo. Mm-hmm.
Same scenario to where he veered off and made a lane for himself in the arts. The old baby Mijo, Hurricane Mijo currently, same thing. He's affected a lot of the arts and stuff like that. So I just think it's very interesting, important, and, I love it, you know what I mean? Because there's a different lane for like all of that. Like, even the way, you know, Mijo and like some of the artists he dances behind and stuff like that, I can see the, what is it, them being inspired by the things mm-hmm. that he, the way he moves and stuff like that. So,
and yeah, and I hope whoever listens to this back, like, trust me, I do not want to speak disparagingly of like Little C or Miho or anybody who came before this new wave of like the Sketches, Hercules, Quenga. There's a thing that I really rely on is tried and true, you know, right. And that first wave was the try. They're the try. They were the dudes who broke the fucking mold. You know what I mean? And, you know, maybe they didn't take Crump seriously or whatever, but they gave Miho a shot. They gave Little C a shot. It was the try it out. They were the try it out era. They mm-hmm. did fucking well and represented well. And then now these guys are starting to kind of move into the fold of like, okay, we know Crumpers can dance. We know they understand music. They understand fashion. And so let's kind of dissect this a little bit. Let's see what these guys are into. And especially someone like Sketch, you know, he's got such a huge background with dancing. You know, Quenga too, like such a huge repertoire of dance. Fucking Davi, like love No Man, shout out No One. Got a huge like he's a dancer. And so people now kind of, I think when you have the tried that became true and then you start having this new, you're comfortable and more inept to say, hey, what's your opinion on this? Hey, let me get your opinion on this. Like, cause I know Miho, like, and Miho's tight as fuck, but what do you think? And so it's kind of you build a larger rapport the more time goes on and the more time goes on and Crump's in a special place right now. And it makes me sad when I see people like, oh, Crump as a community isn't doing enough for this. It's like, dude, but you're just looking in the wrong places. Like, I don't know what fucking looking glass you're looking through. And on that, like, even if they were true, right? Even if they were right, what would be something you yourself would hope to introduce to the community more or hope that we double down on more so that Crump can go further into the future and break into more spaces?
Just the organization, because I'm all about organization, preserving, and really just that. I think that the more we take ourselves seriously, the more others will take us seriously. Just going into like what's, you know, y'all can't see it, but I've shot plenty of videos like the museum. I've had so many people in different countries reach out to me because they're like, oh, you have the hat where this person battled became this. I found a sign that looks like Solo's hand and, you know, and all that type of stuff. They're like, wow, you know, they want to purchase these things for hundreds and thousands of dollars. So like, as far as people, cause a lot of people always talk about money. What can I do when I get paid? I think that first we need to value ourselves and then organize ourselves. Because at that point, that's when everything else, it will create a market for us. Naturally. And I think that that's what Crump is like. We're going so much towards like market. I need to market for myself. They don't say it in their words. They just, I want to be paid. But really what they want is a market for themselves. But you have to value yourself first. And then the market will end up creating itself. Value and organize is what I'm going to say. So that's what I just really hope for and even hope to show this generation is that like if you market and organize yourself, and you value yourself, that market, that space will come for you. Because no disrespect to them, because I've worked with them, they pay great. but when you get a person, or not a person, but when you get an entity that comes in like a Red Bull World of Dance, they already have their idea of what they want from you. It's not a thing of like, they think you're so great. They think you're so great so that you can sell their product. At that particular time, we will no longer have control over where Crump goes and where what it's used for. It'll be like, I own this, put that shirt on. Like I've been in a situation, not in a situation, but I've been like, when we're in certain meetings, I'm listening to what they're saying in like Red Bull or whatever the case may be. It's like, it's about that product being out there. I'm like, oh, okay. That's what it's about. So I think Crump is, we don't need to be, Crump as a whole, we don't need to be so quick to be like, you know, Red Bull come save us, World of Dance come save us. Like if we just value ourselves, we could create our own market to where when they come over, it's like, look, this is what we want to do. And this is how we want to do it. Miss Prissy is already teaching Crump in college. That could happen all the way around. Like, if there's a system there, I believe that that's where, you know, you got, it's kind of like Little League football and basketball, baseball, and that. Like, there's a structure there. So that way, parents, they don't mind slapping down, yeah, I'll pay $500 for this season for my kid. If we could do that for Crump, there's your funding right there for your music, which comes for your DJ, your teaching, which comes for your Crumpers that are older, your veterans, your judges, same thing. Like, there's the money already there, but we just don't think about it like that. We're always like, big company, come save me, you know.
Mm-hmm. And there's a weird thing too when it comes to like organization. I've noticed in the community that a lot of people like to circle back to the founding group of dancers, and they're like, well, if they can't come together and they can't agree, then how do we supposed to move forward? It's like, bro, our founding fathers of this country, right? We can't even agree about who they were and who and what the fuck they were really doing. But look at this country that was built regardless of the debate of, oh, well, it was really Benjamin Franklin that did this, and really it was Thomas Jefferson that did that, or George Washington, like whatever, dude. Like, yes, we can definitely highlight who they are, their disagreements. I think we can focus less on that. We can focus less on it was really Little C who did this, or it was really Slayer who did that, or it was really Chuz who did that. I think give them the credit for what we can all agree on. And what we can all agree on is that those people started this dance. Let's all agree on that. Next, let's just keep moving forward and place value in the things that matter. Those are the people who are dancing now, the people who still come around to share knowledge and spread the histories, spread, you know, and just spread this, I don't want to say gospel, but spread the gospel. You know what I mean? Like, we love this fucking dance, bro. And a lot of us find this place to be home. Like, let's focus on those things. And there's that whole saying too of the same water that softens the potato hardens the egg, you know? So our innate value is there. And sometimes, like, yeah, we ain't got to wait on Red Bull to save us, bro. We ain't got to wait on I got my own thing with World of Dance because of AOV, but we ain't got to wait on World of Dance to come and save us, bro. Our value is already innately there. We just got to put ourselves in the places that says, hey, I'm down to pay that. Or hey, I'm down to come around. Hey, I'm down to put my kid here. Or hey, I'm down to bring my family to this. Like, we need to keep placing ourselves in those places and not worry so much or down talk or bag on the places that they just don't see the value, bro. It's okay. Like, it's okay. It's instead of selling ourselves short to just participate in these things, let's just continue to be who we are, continue to keep pushing forward, and just say, you know what? Crump has its value. It's cool. Fucking punt, man. You are a man of wise words. No wonder you're the godfather, dude. Jeez Louise, bro. Now, also moving into the future, who are some of the young dancers and young heads that you kind of got your eye on and that you would hope to see kind of how they have their value boosted and have more eyes on? Oh, I can't hear you, pun. I can't hear. I'm lost your audio.
Am I back?
Yeah, I got you now. There we go.
Okay, cool. I'll say for sure, I should have my list for this, but I'll speak off the top of my head. Horace is definitely one of them. Yes. Like I'm looking for Horace to take us into the new frontier. He's one of them. Davi for sure. Felicia. I'm gonna start like going fast there. Reflex Art, Namix. Let's see, Instinct. These are Southerners. Royce. I said his government name, but Decisions. That's his crump name. Shazam. Whether he knows it or not, like Shazam is like I am very entertained when I watch Shazam. I really am. Icon.
I love Icon too. Jesus Christ, I love that kid. No bias.
I do. I definitely do. I always call him Twin Street Beast because I don't know how to pronounce his current.
Atumra.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely think him as well. Little Ammo. He's under guns. He's definitely going to take us into the next frontier. He is under. I'm losing my freaking. I'm gonna be mad because I even booked the boy and now I can't remember his name. That's crazy.
It's that age, man.
Yeah, the age is going. He's under Quenga. He's amazing.
Winston?
What is his name? Winston. Jesus, there we go. Winston.
Fun and Games.
I had a conversation with his mother and everything. Fun and Games. He is amazing. Sorry, Winston, even though I forgot, totally drew a blank. You are amazing. He's amazing. He just hit Dice as well. We got, I'm gonna call Alani. That's Cloud Nine. She's amazing as well. It's a bunch. It's definitely a bunch. Baby Terminator. Baby Terminator, oh, Baby Solo.
Ooh, Baby Solo, let's go.
Bam Bam. And then I'm be honest with you. I just seen Mahler in LA. And I'm just let y'all know, as far as at the Wasteland, that battle is going to be amazing. Like, a Mahler got me emotional the way he was dancing. And I'm talking about, like, confusion, like sadness, hype, cry. I felt all that in once from him dancing. And it was just, like, the instant change that I seen him, like, how his style change. And then, like, him and, like, just knowing, like, how his father is with him and Crump. Like, it's going to be great. So I'm a Mahler, Little Crush as well. It's a lot of people. It's definitely a lot. Forgive me, y'all, if I missed y'all, but y'all know, because I put some on y'all video all the time. Twin Rex, yeah, he definitely tight. It's a lot of people that are going crazy. I got to say this. I'm sorry. I got to say this person. If I can remember his name. But... I'm losing my mind. He's a Moody Rex. Isaiah, that's his real name. Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
I just want Isaiah to, I know he's like a new leader. I want Isaiah to just go on a tear for a long time, like by himself. Like don't worry about throwing events and stuff like that. Just dance. And, you know, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but I have been waiting on him to just do that. And then, yeah. And Revan too, my bad. Revan is amazing as well. He's from Mississippi, so. And I'm going to stop right there.
Yeah, dude, and so many of those names too is like, I hear them and I'm like, yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. And it's just kind of, it's mind-boggling that there's so many good dancers in this movement. And I just think that if we all kind of boosted them up the way that we, you know, boost up our own stuff, right? And even just doing like this podcast is like one of the things I've been hoping to do is like getting Namix on is like, bro, we see you're dancing, but let me hear you talk for 5 minutes, you know, just give me 5 minutes of your time. And somebody like a Shazam is not somebody I don't only enjoy him as a dancer, but as a fucking person. Like the human being that you are is wonderful. Every time I've ever been around him, anytime I've ever, like, even if it's just in passing, Corpse, what up, man? What up, Monster Beast? What up? It's like, bro, it's so good to fucking see you. Like, you know what I mean? And his hair. And it's just like, dude, it's like, you're such a character, dog. I love just being around just that type of person. And then it just, to me, it makes the dancing, when I watch him dance, that much more enjoyable. Icon too. Icon, I've said it a million times. Don't get cocky, you little fucker. But he's my favorite from the Beast Camp. He was my favorite from the Ville. He's a favorite in the camp right now. And he's just kind of quiet, you know. He doesn't really talk much. But his dancing does all the speaking for him, you know. But you get him off the dance floor and he's just kind of like, what's up, guys? Like, you know, just real soft-spoken. Doesn't really get into nothing real. And just, he's just cool people to be around.
M2L and Lil Freak Show too. And forgive me for, you know, because I just been so many places in Crump from coast to coast. I'm just like, I don't want to forget anybody. But those two, they stick out a lot to me as well. You know, them two, Wavy. A lot of y'all don't know Wavy just yet, but y'all will. He finna come out and do something. Wavy in my fam, and I don't look at my fam as like so much new, but he is like one of the newer ones, and he definitely gone. Y'all gonna see. I ain't even gonna talk him up because he in my fam, but y'all gonna see.
Pun, your bias is showing a little bit, maybe.
Reflex Arc is in my fam too. But them two, they gonna. Reflex Arc is already out there doing the do. He's the one that battled Beast at the Beast Camp outside. So he's him and Mississippi as a whole right now. They just doing what they do. Like
the mud. I love that. The mud. Ugh. And I had seen that name. I was like, Reflex Arc, like, huh. Like, that's an interesting name. And I had seen it around and seeing people talk. But then when I finally got to see him dance, I was like, oh, okay. I like you. I'm kind of wading in the water a little bit before I want to talk to him, hopefully get him on the pod. especially like most of that Mississippi movement and everyone screaming to mud, Bianca, I see you. Love you. But the mud, man, I love them. So hopefully get to talk more to them, because especially like in the Crump movement, you know, Florida, I feel like is well established. Texas is well established. Atlanta, Cali, obviously, you know, NY. And so like, I think Mississippi is kind of starting to make that push to be like, yo, we here, we really out here. We're really making these moves. And so like kind of getting my chance to talk to them. That's why Namix too was a big thing, was like, let me get a younger guy, somebody who's got fresh eyes on the game, and kind of just get a chance to chop it up, you know? Because
yeah, they different, man. They hungry. So yeah, it's different. Crump is changing for the South. I feel like you see a lot of new leaders, which is always fun seeing that dynamic, because I won't go into like reasoning, but there's so many movements that are here that lost their leaders for various reasons, and young people had to step up, and it was like being a leader and then also trying to worry about your own dance career and then worrying about like getting out of your parents' house. That's a hell of a mixture. Like a hell of a mixture in one, and that's why you see them so fiery. Like, don't get me wrong, like South, everybody sees really like body rolls and stuff, but they may have them, but they have more of the like, you know, the sporadic, because they're just trying to get it. Like they really, that whole get it out the mud, that's a real thing for them, because they're going through, and there's various communities down here, but they're going to like losing a leader and losing their lifeline to certain information into like, okay, I got to be a leader, a new big homie, I gotta like be the best dancer at the same time too. Like that's crazy. And then no events. And then, like I say, going to college, trying to move out of your parents' house. That's my hat goes off to them, because I was able to like get ahead of that. And I was always the old guy. So I always was like, I gotta have a good job, you know? And I was the one throwing the events. So my victory lap that I'm going around and doing now is dancing. You know what I mean? Like I get to go back and, you know, it's like an old man. It's like the new Jordans came back out again. I can buy them. Like, okay. I was out of youth. I'm a battle you now. I'm a battle you now. So that's kind of where I'm at with them. They're doing all of that in one.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Paul, I see you, Ohio. Paul, answer your messages because I want to get you on the pod too, baby boy. He even asked me when I seen him at the dungeon. He's like, when am I going to see you dance, Corpse? I was like, I'm just here to spectate. Like, again, when I first started crumping, it was just battle, tournament. And then, you know, I ended up battling Ruck Boy at the Buckster and got mopped. I'll say that openly, got mopped. And I kind of realized, you know, like somebody like him, I'm not ready for just yet. And I mean, we all know the greatness of Ruck Boy and shit, you know. So I'm not there yet. And then kind of did another lap, was battling some more people. And, you know, now I'm on the road and working on the road, and I'm a dad. You know, I'm a dad of two kids now, kind of trying to, like you were saying, like I'm trying to figure out how to be a dad of two, working on the road, still trying to be Buck out here, you know, trying to do this podcast thing because we can't dance forever. You know, our body will eventually give out, you know. And whether that's tomorrow or 20 years from now, I hope to have this still going. And so, like, yeah, like that whole idea of like getting people in these positions, let them have their moment and let them know, like, dude, you can always double back, like spin the block back on them, bro. One more time. You know what I'm saying? Like spin the block on them one more time.
It will hurt, but you can do it, but it will hurt.
Yeah, dude. And I didn't realize, well, Disco, I mean this only as a compliment. I didn't realize how old Disco was. And I was like, yo, my man has got it going on. Let's fucking go, bro. Like, it gives me hope. You know, it gives me hope. Like, dude, I still got some years left in me. And, you know, he just got the new name, he's Monster Crush now. And so it's right. See, I'm still in the loop. It's like, dude, he's just got a new name. And it's like, that's tight as fuck to me. And Dread, my OG big homie, he's Violent Crush now. And it's like, dude, he's even at a tender age, you know, and he's giving me, yeah, I want to speak nicely of the homies, but it's like, let's be real, guys. We're not Mahler anymore. We're not fucking 14, 15 years old. I don't even think Mahler's that old. I think he's younger than that.
Yeah.
Dude, it's so crazy to think too. And I wanted to make sure that I took a second to tell you thank you, because there was a post you made, and I've said it a few times, but I finally have a chance to tell you, is that there was a post you made back in 2016 where it was, if you think you're tight, pick up somebody who's never known crump and make them buck. I screenshotted that shit and I sent it to Dread. And he was like, well, I'm having a birthday session. Come by. And I went and I met Little Rowdy. And I always give Little Rowdy his flowers on that too. He's like, bro, I seen you dance and I knew who you were. I seen the DVDs. I seen, you know, and it's changed my life, bro. Like, it, we're here now. Like, and I feel like such a full circle moment for my own career in crump. Like, this is like, okay, I met the guy that really helped this shit get kicked off. And me and Dredd are lifelong friends now. And now, then I wanted to be under Beast. And then now I'm under Beast now. So it's like, but none of this would have happened if I didn't see that post, if I wasn't in that little group and seen that post by Al. And so thank you. I really want to tell you thank you, bro, because you sent me on a wild fucking journey, bro. Like a wild, wild ride, dude.
Man, I'm happy, man. I think that's – I'm starting to accept, you know – hold on, what time it is before I make a long-winded – okay, 3-4. I'm going to say this, and then I got to go pick up my child for the call police. But I finally accepted, you know, what my calling is in crump. And I believe the Lord is like, yeah, I'm going to allow you to have some good moments. You know what I'm saying? You're going to invest a lot, but you are going to make money. You're not going to go without. But at the end of the day, that is what I'm designed for, I believe, like in crump. And that's why I call myself. And I want everybody to know that too. Like, as far as this whole Godfather thing, it's not to like, just try to stand up there with, like, Tight Eyes Miho or, anything or push anybody down. It's like, that's what I feel like I'm designed to do, is like help with that, like that type of stuff. That makes my day to know that, like, I didn't even know that, but I remember the post because that's how Quenga got picked up by Crush.
Wow.
So I remember that post, and then not knowing that with you, I'm just like, man, it's just, I'm very thankful that God has allowed me still to fulfill my, like, what I'm supposed to be doing, you know. And it's not always about like the best round and stuff like that. And even in Desert Storm, when I was like, so, and this is a real moment, because I want everybody to understand this, and that, like, us as far as like people who they like, oh, you're up there. I had a moment where like Ronnie was like, yeah, I want you to DJ. I'm excited. I'm like, oh man, this is the Super Bowl crowd. I get to DJ it. And he was like, yeah, I want you to battle too, because I done seen you at your top and I want the world to see it. And he was like, I was like, all right. And he was like, you got to battle Jungle. And I was like, oh, my goodness. But he was like, Al, the only way I can get you to dance that way is if your back is against the wall, and I want you to have that moment. So when I danced, you know, a lot of people gave me props, and that's probably like my best footage that's probably like out. And, you know, I was just having a moment of still insecurity, even after being booked for an event like that. And I'll never forget, like, a lot of people think Ruin, Larry, is a mean person, but he has kind words and he's very intelligent. He told me, he was like, hey, you did really good, man. And I was like, thank you. Cause I was like, I just wanted to prove that I could stand up there with y'all and Crump. And he was like, why would you worried about being a part of the blueprint if you created the blueprint? And it blew my mind when he said that. I was like, okay, dang, I feel kind of dumb even, like, you know, in the moment. But I don't even know if he remembers that, but it was just like, dang, I appreciate that. And sometimes you got to realize that, like, God or whoever you believe in is trying to set you apart in a different way, but you keep trying to go in a different direction because you're like, I want to feel this, like, I want to be a gladiator, I want to do this, but like, you already are that, or you have a certain lane that you're supposed to play, but you try to go in a different, you know, direction. So I appreciate you saying that. I really do.
Pun, thank you for being alive. Like, I want to say that, and I say that to all my homies whenever we cheers and shit and have a drink. I don't, you know, I'm rarely thankful for the positions that we're at in life, because we can always be better. But thank you for being alive. Thank you for being in my life, right? In the capacity that you've been in, bro. Like, and I'm really thankful for this conversation, you know? And if there's any social medias or events, anything you want to plug, because I know you said you got to go get your kiddos, but anything you want to drop before you go ahead and make your way out, please do that for us. And again, thank you, dude.
Oh, you're welcome, man. And yes, Wasteland. Wasteland is, next week on the 11th, we got the Mortal Buck Tournament here in Dallas. And then we got Wasteland right after that. That's the 19th, 20th. Just be on the lookout for more things, Mortal Buck. Be on the lookout for, send me everything that y'all can for the Crump Museum. I will take anything. I will pay for the shipping and handling. I just want to make sure that the Crump history in America is told from East Side. East, West, South, Midwest, not just one area. I love and appreciate y'all. And yeah.
Brother, listen, I'm going to send you a message. Hopefully we can do this again, because I did want to talk about the museum, but we just got everywhere. But thank you so much, brother. I'm going to send you a message after this. Yeah.
Okay. Appreciate it. All
right, brother. Thank you. You guys, that was Al, the Godfather of Crump, Big Pun, PFR, all of that. Listen, everybody who tuned in live, thank you. Thank you. And I just want to take a special second. Like, I know Pun's got to run off and go do his thing. But you guys do not take advantage of the people that we meet. Right. And I'm not just meaning like taking money from them or anything. Like, he spoke about Lame, and that was the first person that I knew who was a loss to the community. And I never got to meet him. And all I ever hear is these beautiful, wonderful stories about him. And it breaks my heart for all of you. And it breaks my heart because I never had the chance to enjoy him the way that all of you got to enjoy him. And I'm so happy that Pun came into my life in the capacity that he did. And I've never shook the man's hand. But I would wash his feet. If you guys read the Bible, right, or if you practice yoga, you know that washing the feet is the greatest compliment that you could give someone, right? I'd prepare his table for him, right? I would prepare a plate for him before I would prepare one for myself. Do not take advantage of these moments. Crump brings us together, but what we do when we're together is the most important part. And that's the part that I hope that we can focus more on. Yeah, let's quit worrying about the things that divide us and focus more on the things that bring us together. Yeah, everybody who's tuned in, whether you've been on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all of that, I love you guys. Like, comment, share, subscribe, all of that. Yeah, until next time, hope you guys have a good day. Hope you have an amazing week, month, year in life. If you've enjoyed this one, I got Little Mad Rip coming on tomorrow, my man Swift. Then I got my man Gambino coming in on Sunday. So stay tuned, turn on the notifications because it's getting fucking crazy out here. Yeah, this is Big Corpse coming from Corpse Collection. Till next time.